Chapter 15.
My aunt? I repeated, and my voice wavered against my best efforts. My earliest memories of my family involved only me and my parents, never any type of extended family, so I found it hard to believe this mysterious woman could be related to me.
Yes, she nodded. I'm your father's twin sister, which makes you my nephew.
Surname aside, her name was familiar to me, so I quickly thought back to the list of translated guardians' names in the researcher's office. I remembered seeing the name Kristen Porter listed just above Rallad and Genevieve's, but I'd been so hyper-focused on my parents' names that I hadn't made the connection between them.
Meka,
Ashla muttered as she glanced back and forth at us.
I apologize for the abruptness of this revelation, Kristen said, and her hazel eyes were surprisingly sympathetic. There was never an opportune time to tell you the truth, and unfortunately, I'm running out of time to reveal much more to you.
How are you still alive? I asked her. You say you're a guardian, right? But how is that even possible? Where have you been this entire time?
A great many things are possible in this world, Griff, my supposed aunt said cryptically as her eyes darted around the busy street. I wish I had adequate time to explain, but I'm already late enough as it is.
I'm sorry, but you can't just come in, say you're supposedly my aunt, and then suddenly disappear again, I interjected. And besides, what are you even late for? A secret meeting of the Cryptic Stalkers Club?
Sometimes you remind me so much of Rallad, Kristen sighed, and her shoulders released the tension they'd held. Look, all I can tell you right now is I was sent to watch over you a long time ago, and I've been fulfilling that promise ever since.
By whom? I wondered. My parents? The Guardians? Are the rest of them still alive?
My brain began to run in circles as I imagined the possibilities. If my aunt was still alive somehow, were my parents out there too? And where was there exactly? The Shadowscape? Griff, your parents are long dead, she said softly, and her lips tilted downward into a frown. Trust me, I would have told you otherwise long ago if that were the case.
My chest deflated with this news, and I felt Ashla's hand rest gently on my shoulder. She gave it a light squeeze and then resumed her stoic stance. How do I know I can even trust anything you say? I asked as I shook off any lingering disappointment. It seems like every time that I run into you, you're either making an unhelpful comment or you're trying to sabotage my missions.
I'm not sabotaging anything, Griff.
Kristen interrupted me, and her lips drew into a thin line.
I'm only here to help.
Then why do you have Karth's book in your hands? I practically shouted. And why did you run from us before? It seems a little suspicious my aunt would try to disrupt an important recovery like this.
Perhaps we should take this conversation off the streets,
Ashla advised as she gestured toward the citizens who moved in the space around us. She was right. No one looked particularly dastardly, but this discussion was too delicate to risk a civilian overhearing it.
Follow me, Kristen decided, and with a light flourish of her black cloak, she began to hustle down the street.
Ashla and I followed her through the throng of people and vehicles until we reached an alleyway in between two incredibly tall stone buildings. The location was a little creepy, but also unoccupied, so I couldn't complain much. Kristen peered around, and once she seemed certain we were alone, she took a deep breath.
This is much better, she declared. Look, Griff, I legitimately had no idea you were here. I came to this village because I sensed the presence of the book. That's all.
You sensed it? I repeated back to her. How?
Enchanted items such as this book have an aura of detectable magic around them, Kristen explained. If you know how to properly trace that magic, you can locate the item. That's fascinating, Ashla noted, and her dark eyes glittered with interest.
"I've never heard of that kind of power before. Is that just a guardian thing?"
"Yes and no,"
my aunt replied.
"Anyone can access the magic, but the guardians were trained to specifically do so."
"So you tracked the book," I clarified, and I crossed my arms against my chest as I tried to understand.
"But why? What did you want with it?"
"Stop getting caught up in the how, Griff,"
Kristen said with an impatient sigh.
"I've been keeping tags on Karth and her entire alliance, and while I can't speak for their entire plan, what I do know is they're coming to this realm, and they're coming soon. Karth isn't one to handle betrayal well, and she's taken personal offense to the fact that you stole the book. After I located it in this realm, I figured it would be best to return it to the Shadowscape. I figured if Karth couldn't find it, perhaps she would leave you in Varley B."
"That's almost a nice gesture," I snorted. "I would thank you if I didn't think you had ulterior motives for taking the book. So how about you quit lying and tell me why you really took the book from the store?" The blood vanished from my aunt's face, and her hand tightened around Karth's book.
"You want the truth?"
Kristen answered in a sharp tone.
"Fine. It's better for the book to remain locked away rather than in the hands of the Arkans.
But we were the ones who stole it away from Karth," I insisted, and my eyebrows crinkled together in confusion. Something about Kristen's statement didn't make any sense. "Unless you mean the Arkans I have under my control." The look on my aunt's face confirmed my suspicions, and I watched her struggle to contain her thoughts as she tried to compose herself.
"Griff, when will you see those monster goddesses are not truly on your side?"
Kristen finally asked, and then she let out a disgruntled sigh.
"They don't care about you. They only seek to corrupt you and use you as a pawn in their war."
"Forgive me if I don't want to take advice from someone who won't make their intentions clear," I fired back at her. "Time and time again, you've made it obvious you're just as slippery as the goddesses I've fought. If you can't see a difference between me and the Arkans, then you're far more lost than I anticipated," the guardian retorted. "Hand over the book, Kristen," I demanded.
"No,"
my aunt shook her head.
"I won't let it fall into their hands. I'm taking the book and hiding it in the furthest corner of the Shadowscape where no one will be able to find it."
"It's not going into their hands. It's going into mine," I snapped at her. "The Arkans have nothing to do with it."
"So they won't be helping you translate it?"
Kristen asked me with an arrogant raise of her eyebrow.
"Well, any type of involvement between the Arkans and that book could produce dire consequences for the entire realm,"
my aunt declared in a passionate tone, and the vein above her temple throbbed from the exertion. "Do you even know what it says?" I wondered with narrowed eyes.
"I have an idea," she responded. "And trust me, Griff, it's not something you want to mess with.
So why don't you go ahead and tell me what's inside of it, since you seem to know the book so well?"
"Griff."
"No, go ahead," I scowled. "I could use some enlightening on the subject, and since you seem to be the expert on Arkan artifacts..."
"Don't turn this around on me, boy,"
Kristen snarled at me.
"You have no idea what I've gone through for you, and..."
"Then why don't you fucking explain?"
"That's enough!"
Ashla shouted, and the Ice Mage positioned herself so she stood in between my aunt and me. Her eyes were black as night as they stared us down, and her penetrating gaze was intimidating as hell.
"Now here's how this is going to go. Kristen, that book contains information that could be crucial to our army. You're one of the 12 Guardians? Well, then you should understand the importance of protecting the realm at any cost. This information could be the difference between the remaining Arkans taking over the world and us shutting them out forever. I understand your vendetta against them. Trust me, I do. And you know what? I don't exactly trust the ones Griff has in his mind either. And I know no matter what, he's going to do anything and everything he can to save Mistral. By taking this book back, you could condemn us all to a long, excruciating demise. If you ever cared for Griff or his parents, you'll give us the book and go back to wherever you came from.
My jaw nearly dropped to the floor as Ashla stood her ground to the Guardian. I kept waiting for the Ice Mage to drop her guard, but she was unwavering as she stared Kristen down. The tension in the air was so thick, it was almost impossible to breathe. But finally, my aunt relaxed her stance.
Fine, Kristen said, much to my surprise. Take the book. But I will not be around when the situation leads to your undoing, Ice Mage. That I can assure you. I've done everything in my power to protect your man from himself. But fine. Take it.
She held Karth's book out to Ashla, and the dark-skinned mage accepted it with a raised chin.
Thank you,
Ashla said. Now, I started. Can you tell me how you're still alive? And how I came to be living in this time?
No!
My aunt raised her chin defiantly.
Honestly, I should kill you right where you stand.
What did you just say? My hand flew to my bandolier just in case, but Kristen didn't lash out to strike. Instead, she simply shook her head back and forth.
I expected more from you, Griff, the Guardian murmured as she peered around my lover to address me. You were destined for greatness. And yet every day you stray further from the light, just as they said you would.
Who said I would? I growled.
Who do you fucking think?
She hissed. You're supposed to be a guardian, I barked.
And yet you've remained in the shadows while the world falls to ruin.
I used to think of you as heroes, but now I'm beginning to think I had it all wrong.
No, it was I who might have been wrong about you. I pray I'm not. But...
Kristen's lower lip quivered, but then she took a deep breath and waved her hand in the air. Suddenly, a small person-sized portal opened up before her, and the Guardian replaced the hood over her head and gave me one last masked stare. Going to run, huh? I scoffed. Thanks for the book.
We'll be seeing each other again soon, she declared.
Good luck, Griff. Then the Guardian disappeared through the portal. I stood there in shock as the doorway closed, and once Kristen was gone from our sight, I let out a huge sigh of relief.
What a bitch! Ashla growled. Fuck her!
Ashla, I know I've said this before, but holy shit. I love you so fucking much.
I love you too,
the Ice Mage said as she turned around to face me, and she flashed me a dazzling smile.
I was just telling it like it is.
And it was seriously hot, I remarked. I always knew you were a badass, but standing up to a guardian like that is on a whole new level. Ashla winked at me, and then she handed me Karth's book.
Well, at least we got this back. I'm sure pissing your aunt off will probably bite us in the arse later.
She did what had to be done, I interjected. That's all that matters right now. I studied Karth's book for a moment, and carefully pried open the pages just to make sure nothing was amiss. Luckily, the book looked exactly like it did in the Shadowscape, mysterious black glyphs and all, and it didn't seem to have any wear on it. We need to get back as soon as possible, I declared after I closed the book. Now that I knew it could be traced, the last thing we needed was for another mage, or even Karth for that matter, to find us in the middle of nowhere with no backup.
I agree. But finding a carriage that'll take us back to Valais this late is going to be nearly impossible,
Ashla pointed out as she gestured at the darkened sky.
We're going to have to wait until morning.
I glanced up and pondered the best course of action. Ashla was right. The Enclave was a day away, and long-distance carriages usually stopped around sunset. The sky was already a deep navy blue, so we were pretty much out of luck until morning. Unless... There was only one logical solution left, and that was flying back on one of my many summons. I have an idea, I proposed. But Ashla's mouth immediately drew into a thin line.
Griff, I'm not sure that's a good plan.
She shook her head before I even said anything. I haven't even told you.
No, but I recognize the look in your eyes,
Ashla countered, and the Ice Mage crossed her arms against her chest, as her dark eyes looked me up and down.
We elected not to fly here in the first place because it would drain your mana.
We might not have time to wait, I objected. We have no clue when Karth will strike. It could be tonight, could be tomorrow. Maker, it could even be a week from now. But I'd rather not take the chance she and her herd arrive sooner than later. Besides, flying will use a lot less mana than, say, teleporting would. Ashla opened her mouth to argue, but then closed it instead and gave me a reluctant nod.
Okay, Griff. You know your limits better than me. If you think it's best to leave, then we'll leave. But if you get too drained, we'll need to stop and rest. I didn't think to pack any mana potions, and I won't be able to get us home if you're depleted.
It won't come to that, I said. But thank you, Ashla. I'll let you know if it gets to be too much. I peered around the alleyway. We were in too tight of quarters for what I wanted, so after I safely stashed Karth's book into my travel pack, I inclined my head, and Ashla and I stepped back out onto the street. My lover and I meandered down the barren cobblestone path, and I was surprised at how clear the streets were. While Dossian's Keep had been a populous place during the day, the night seemed to have sent everyone home, which suited me fine. The mass of people had been stressful, so it was nice to be able to move without smacking into someone's elbows. Finally, we made it back to the iron entrance gates, and once we cleared them and made our way to an empty field, I reached into my bandolier and retrieved a grayish-green-winged-shaped crystal. I smashed it to the ground, and my pyreworm appeared in a burst of blue-black smoke. The shadowy serpentine creature let out a bone-chilling shriek as it unfurled its inky black wings and spread its razor-like talons.
I'll never get used to this one,
Ashla grimaced as she gave the creature a reluctant sideward glance.
Ah, but he's a sweetheart,
I snickered as I helped the ice mage onto the pyreworm, and once she was settled, I climbed right in front of her.
Yeah, a real sweetheart,
Ashla snorted as she wrapped her arms tightly around my waist and pressed her cheek against my back. I've got you, I assured her. Don't be scared.
I know,
she replied.
And I'm not.
I glanced over my shoulder and raised my eyebrows at her suspiciously.
I'm not,
she insisted.
Sure, sure,
I smiled before I commanded the pyreworm to take us back to Varlay. And after the creature flexed its powerful talons, it flapped its shadowy wings and took off into the air. Ashla gripped me even tighter as we ascended, but once we reached a suitable altitude and the pyreworm straightened out, she relaxed her hold around me.
Better?
I asked her.
Better,
she repeated. As the pyreworm raced through the air, I thought about everything that had just happened in the short amount of time we'd been in Dossian's Keep. The fact that my father had a twin sister I didn't even know about was making my brain hurt. And that she just so happened to be Jace was even crazier. A million questions raced through my head. What had my aunt meant when she said she'd been tasked to follow me? Who'd sent her? And where? And were they fellow guardians? And if she was alive, she'd certainly knew how I'd ended up in this time period. Had she been responsible for putting me here? Kristen was clearly a time traveler herself, so there had to be some correlation. What perplexed me the most was her attitude toward me and my relationship to the Arkans. I'd always put the Guardians on a pedestal as the protectors of the realm, and yet Kristen's main motivation seemed to be revenge against the Arkans. Perhaps Xanrath had been right after all. There were no clear good and bad sides. Maybe things were grayer than I'd thought. Eventually, I forced myself to slow down and focus on the important things at hand. I had plenty of time to sort through my family trauma. For now, I had to worry about Karth's impending attack. Despite my exhaustion, we flew through the night, and thanks to the pyreworm's impressive speed, we managed to reach Varlay a short time after the sun had risen in the sky. My eyeballs and muscles ached, and I started to grow antsy as we got closer to the mansion. To my relief, there had been no sign of Karth's herd, so clearly the Arkan hadn't struck yet. While I knew Ashla and I had pushed ourselves far beyond what we should have,
At least we'd beaten the horned goddess here. Finally, the pyroworm landed delicately on the emerald lawn, and it let out a tired cry as it lowered itself further into the grass so we could climb off. I patted the serpentine creature affectionately.
Good job, buddy.
It's so weird to hear you talk to this monster like you would a dog.
Ashla laughed at me, and heat spread throughout my cheeks as I petted my summons.
It's kind of sweet.
What? It deserves to be treated just as kindly as my other monsters, I murmured.
I was only teasing you,
Ashla laughed again.
I think it's really nice you're so kind to your summons. I'm sure most other mages treat their creatures with a lot less respect than you do, so it's refreshing to see you give yours affection.
Thanks, I murmured. I know it's a strange beast, but we've been through quite a bit together, and it's gotten me through a lot of sticky situations. I dismounted the pyreworm and then helped the ice mage down, and once our feet were planted firmly on the ground, I recalled my summons and replaced the crystal into my bandolier. The morning air was peaceful, but I had a sneaking suspicion the peace wouldn't last. So I took a long, deep breath and gave myself a moment to prepare for the difficult discussion ahead. My women had no idea what was about to happen, and I fully dreaded having to break the news to them. Suddenly, I felt a hand wrap around mine, and I looked beside me to see Ashla's encouraging smile.
It's all going to be okay, she assured me softly. I know it all seems intense right now, but in case you forgot, we're all a bunch of badasses. We can handle whatever Karth throws our way.
Were you possessed by Aaron while I wasn't looking? I teased my dark-skinned lover.
I figured I would take a stab at optimism for once, the former mercenary leader chuckled, and she gave my hand a tight squeeze. Come on, let's go rally the troops.
So, hand in hand, Ashla and I walked up the driveway until we reached the front door. But we'd barely stepped through the threshold when we heard an excited yelp ring throughout the house.
Griff, you're back!
Syra exclaimed. And before I could get a word in, the dark-skinned summoner ran straight at me and wrapped me in a tight embrace. Hi, Syra, I said as I hugged her back. And when she pulled away, her eyebrows crinkled together.
Wait, how are you here already?
The curly-haired mage wondered. Long story, I stated simply. Is anyone else up?
If they weren't, they are now,
Nia said as she stepped into the entryway, and her piercing blue eyes peered over at me hopefully.
Did you guys find the book?
Yes, I replied as the elementalist came up and kissed me on the cheek. But we've got a problem.
What kind of problem?
My ashen-haired wife asked slowly. The kind that involves a very pissed-off Arkan. I sighed.
My favorite kind,
Syra quipped.
What's happened?
Arwen called out as she suddenly joined the rest of us. The professor's steps had been so dainty, I hadn't even heard her walk in. Karth, she knows we have the book, I informed everyone. And that Xanrath has left. So suffice it to say, she is probably not very happy.
Oh, Mika,
Syra breathed.
Fuck, that's not good. Not at all,
Arwen agreed with widened eyes.
Are we sure Xanrath isn't more of a liability than an asset?
Nia asked in a skeptical tone. And once she saw my reaction to that, her voice grew more insistent.
I'm serious. I know the whole point is to get more goddesses on our side, but I have yet to see how Xanrath can help us out. And if her being here is only going to create more tension with Karth,
I've already claimed her for our side, I explained. Even if she wanted to return to Karth, she couldn't. And she wouldn't. She swore fealty, and she knows more about Karth than any of the other Arkans. At least, the newest version of her.
I suppose that's fair,
my ashen-haired wife sighed after a moment.
Sorry, Griff. This is just a lot to handle, and I want to make sure we aren't falling into a trap.
Oh, trust me, we know, I said, and I took Nia's hands into mine. Don't apologize, Nia, it's okay. You have a brilliant mind, and I appreciate the way you think of every possible scenario. I kissed my wife on the lips, and then I turned back to the rest of my women.
Speaking of knowledge, there's a lot more we have to tell you about. Arwen, can we send for the headmaster? I know we usually meet in his office. I debated mentioning our interaction with Jace, but I ultimately decided it would be more efficient to gather everyone, including Sleet, and tell them at the same time so I wouldn't have to repeat the story all over again.
This is important enough that he'll make a house call.
Arwen nodded.
I'll get the word to him straight away.
The crimson-haired professor wasted no time, and she quickly slipped away to make arrangements in the other room. How are Layla and Aaron? I asked as I glanced upstairs.
They're perfectly fine,
Nia assured me softly.
Arwen gave them some kind of herb that helps them get restful sleep. Layla needed quite a bit of it,
Syra giggled.
That girl's energy could power an entire airship on its own.
We all laughed at that, and as our laughter subsided, Nia studied us with a critical eye.
Speaking of, you two also look like you could use some rest,
the elementalist remarked.
Yeah, no offense, but you both look and smell awful,
Syra chimed in as she looked us over. Ashla and I exchanged self-conscious glances. I knew we couldn't have smelled great after a night of flying on the pyreworm, and all I wanted was a hot bath and a good nap, but there wasn't a lot of time for relaxation.
I know that look,
Nia said, and her bright blue eyes narrowed at me.
You want to push through it. But Griff, if there's trouble on the horizon, you need to replenish your mana and get some sleep. We're all going to need as much magic as we can muster if Karth's bringing her herd back to Mistral.
You're right, I reluctantly agreed. Why must you always be right, Kennefic?
Because it's my job.
My wife winked at me.
And besides, you know you love it.
Nia, you're too much sometimes. I shook my head as I laughed.
Okay, enough flirting, you two.
Syra giggled, and she rolled her eyes dramatically.
Ashla and Griff, hit the showers and then go take a nap. That's a direct order. We can't have anyone thinking we let vagrants live in our home.
Yes, ma'am. I mock-saluted her, and my women collapsed into a fit of laughter. After a good laugh of my own, I took Ashla's hand, and together we ascended the spiral staircase. We went straight up to the bathroom, and the moment the doors were closed, we stripped out of our sweaty, dingy garments. Ashla let out a sigh of relief once her clothes were on a pile on the floor, and she stretched out her perfectly naked body like a lazy cat in the sun.
Much better,
she murmured, and the light from the bathroom chandelier set off the amber flecks in her dark brown eyes. Shall we? I prompted her as I gestured at the sunken bathtub in the center of the room.
Yes, please,
Ashla sighed, so I crossed over to the tub and flipped on the faucet. Hot water streamed out, and as the bath filled up, the Ice Mage and I shared a few playful kisses. As tired as my body was, I was never too exhausted to have some fun with my lovers. So Ashla and I spent some quality time together and explored each other's bodies as we unwound in the soothing bathwater. Once we were clean, we retreated to Ashla's room and curled up in her ultra-plush bed. Usually we fell asleep in my room, but the Ice Mage's was much closer, and despite our therapeutic soak, we were still sore from our night on the pyreworm. Ashla's body fit against mine like a puzzle piece, and I clung to her tightly and fell into an intense coma-like nap. Later that afternoon, Arwen gently knocked on Ashla's door and woke us from our peaceful rest.
Headmaster Sleet will be here shortly, the crimson-haired professor informed us. As much as I'd love to let you sleep some more, we're going to need you both to lead the meeting.
Duty calls. I laughed lightly as I rubbed the sleep from my tired eyes.
Can duty call tomorrow?
Ashla groaned, and her voice was muffled by the pillow she placed over her head.
I'm fucking tired.
Arwen and I cracked up, and I rubbed the Ice Mage's back affectionately. Sorry, my love. They kind of need us, I said.
Fine,
Ashla drawled, and she removed the pillow from her face. Her braids were askew as she sat up, and I smoothed them back into place.
I'll give you a few more minutes,
Arwen chirped, and then the professor left the room and closed the door behind her.
Do we have to?
Ashla pouted the moment the door closed. Unfortunately, I laughed, and I pulled the ice mage into a kiss. It was nice to have spent so much time with Ashla after such a long period of not speaking, and I didn't want to give up a second of it. However, we had duties to Mistral to fulfill, so I settled for a kiss from the ice mage, and then I climbed out of her bed. Half an hour later, Arwen, Ashla, Nia, Syra, Freya, Headmaster Sleet, and I all sat in one of the formal meeting rooms upstairs. The room had yet to receive much attention, and my eyes couldn't help but wander as they admired the rounded cherrywood table before us, and the dark but professional furnishings. I distractedly tapped my fingertips against the wood, but stopped immediately when I noticed Nia's blue eyes staring at me from across the room. I tucked my hands beneath me as I waited for the headmaster to say something. Ashla and I had just taken turns telling the tale to our team, and Sleet had fallen silent the moment we'd concluded.
So, Mr. Griff, you and Miss Ashla decided to take it upon yourselves to recover the book on your own, Sleet asked with a raised eyebrow, after I specifically mentioned the research team should be involved in the mission.
Yes, sir, I replied. I'm sorry for going against the plan. It was just a last-minute decision.
I understand,
Sleet nodded, and the headmaster gave me a reassuring smile.
You aren't in trouble, son. You had to think on your feet, and there was no time left to lose. I can completely understand that.
He ran a hand through his closely trimmed silver beard as he contemplated, and the gesture only added to the Storm Mage's mysterious vibe.
Miss Hamna, have you taken a look through the Arkin's book yet?
Sleet addressed Arwen, and the crimson-haired professor shook her head.
I have not, she said. I think Griff and Ashla were waiting for all to be gathered to show us the book.
Mr. Griff, would you mind?
Sleet began, and I sat up straight in my seat and retrieved the travel pack beside me. Of course, I said as I carefully removed Karth's book from my pack, and I winced at the strange warmness of the cover. As much as I didn't want to think about it, I was almost certain that the book was bound in human skin, and I grimaced as I passed it across the table to the headmaster. Sleet drew the book closer to him and angled his spectacles so they sat perfectly on the bridge of his nose, and then he carefully opened the book.
This is fascinating, he remarked as his pale silvery eyes scanned the glyphs with interest. Have your Arkins given you any clues about what these mean?
Not yet, I sighed, and I reached into my mind and unlocked the Arkins' wards, just enough to allow the goddesses to speak.
It looks like childish scribbles to me, Sara remarked with a bitter laugh. That's almost an insult to children,
Viopa giggled.
It's not that bad,
Xanrith chimed in, and the other Arkins let out a collective groan.
Must you always be such a suck-up?
Fi chastised the flame-winged Arkin.
Honestly, Xan, this whole nice routine is such a bore,
Utuni added in.
I liked you more a few thousand years ago when you were savage.
It's not an act,
Xanrith insisted, and I could feel her sadness radiate throughout my mind.
I've changed.
Okay, enough about the quality of the writing, I said to them. And stop picking on Xan. What about the contents? What does it say?
The only words I recognize are monsters and reunite,
Xanrith replied in a helpful tone. And I was grateful at least one of the goddesses had the decency to respond to me. I relayed the Arkin's message to the rest of the room, and Arwen's auburn eyebrows knitted together.
Griff, would it be possible for you to summon Xanrith into the room?
The professor asked, and the office fell completely silent.
Miss Hamna, do you think that suggestion is wise?
Headmaster Sleet finally asked in a surprised voice.
Don't get me wrong. The idea of meeting one of the Arkans face to face is intriguing. But are we sure we can trust this Sanrith?
Yes, I answered before anyone else could say anything. Headmaster, if you'd like to speak with Zan, I don't mind summoning her. She's under my control, and it seems like she's willing to help us.
Well, then, I think the goddess might be able to provide some clarification and possible theories on Karth's next attack,
Sleet determined.
So, if you wouldn't mind, Griff, could you call her forth?
Yes, sir, I nodded, and I reached into my mind and released the holds on Zanrith. I felt a tingle on my ribcage, and in a hiss of smoke, Zanrith manifested in front of us, Dazi, black dress and all. The dark-skinned goddess smiled brilliantly at the team, and my lovers stared at her azure fire wings in awe.
Wow,
Nia remarked.
Hello.
Zanrith greeted the room with a small wave, and it surprised me to see the normally self-assured goddess seemed to be nervous about meeting my mistral friends.
I would like to help.
Welcome, Zanrith.
Sleet smiled at the Arkan, and the renowned storm mage eyed the goddess with fascination.
I don't know if this is inappropriate to say, but you're seriously beautiful, Syra remarked.
Thank you so much, my lady,
Zanrith replied with an amused smile.
I appreciate your kindness. You're quite beautiful as well.
Thank you for joining us, Lady Zanrith.
Arwen bowed her head in respect for the Arkan.
You may call me Zan, Miss Hamner,
Zanrith said as her smile widened.
I do not mind the shortened form of my name at all. And please, thank you for your hospitality. I know my sisters have not set the best example for our kind, but perhaps there was once a time when humans and Archons lived together in peace? Before we were at war? I would like to think so. And I hope I can prove my worth to you all.
You're so polite,
Syra said as she studied the Arkan with a furrowed brow.
I wasn't expecting that. No offense, of course.
None taken.
Zan nodded.
Lady Zan, you may take a seat beside Mr. Griff, if you please,
Headmaster Sleet said, and he gestured at the empty seat beside me.
With pleasure.
Zan purred softly enough for only me to hear, and as she moved into the seat, her bare hip brushed against me. I fought back a smirk as the Arkan winked at me. Syra was right. Zan was entirely too sexy for her own good, and she was all mine. I tore my eyes away from the goddess and looked instead to Sleet.
Now, I understand you were a member of Karth's band of Arkans, the headmaster began as he studied the dark-skinned goddess. It appears she is set to mount another attack.
Unfortunately, Karth didn't relay any of her strategies to me before I left,
Zan answered.
However, I did spend a good amount of time observing her when she thought she was alone. She's been training, sir, preparing her horde of monsters for something she has not let the rest of us in on.
They were nearly impossible to destroy last time.
Nia shook her head.
It took almost all of our elemental magic combined just to push them back and gain a bit of ground. If Karth's training them further, I can only imagine the damage they could cause.
Is it their size that makes them so impenetrable? Arwen wondered.
Or some kind of enchantment that makes them more resilient?
Now that's a question I can actually answer,
Zanrith said with a smile.
Luckily for us, and unfortunately for her, Karth's monsters won't have the same advantages they had last time. You see, they were only so resilient because of my magical interference.
Your healing magic, I realized as I remembered the goddess reviving me after the Maripor attack.
It's more than just healing,
Zanrith revealed.
My magic goes far beyond stitching up skin or mending broken bones.
Meaning? I asked.
My gift is resurrection.
Holy fucking shit. Resurrection? I repeated back to the Arkan as a grin spread across my face.
As in bringing things back from the dead?
Zanrith nodded, and I nearly shot up out of my seat.
Whoa,
Syra breathed.
That's seriously intense.
That is powerful magic.
Freya spoke up for the first time, and her golden-flecked eyes glanced at Zan warily.
I have never heard of someone bringing something back to life.
That definitely lends a serious advantage,
Arwen chimed in as her amber eyes widened at the winged goddess.
So that's how Karth's monsters kept fighting even with everything we happened to throw at them.
Nia shook her head.
That's insane.
I understand now why Karth was so intent on keeping you within her ranks, I said. Not to say there aren't any other reasons, of course.
I know,
Zan replied.
It may have not been the sole reason, but it was a large factor. I wanted to tell you about my gift after the Mariport attack, but back then we were on opposing sides, and I didn't want you to be aware of my gift in case you chose not to join us.
I completely understand, I said. I wouldn't have told me either. But now that you're on our side...
I am more than happy to share my gift with your army.
Xanrath finished for me, and I shook my head in disbelief. Resurrection. Huh. While I hoped it was magic that didn't have to be utilized, having an Arkin with a power like that on our side was nothing but advantageous. This is not how I was expecting this conversation to go, I admitted.
Listen, while I completely agree this is a wonderful development, we can't just rely on Zan's magic to win us this battle,
Arwen reminded us gently.
Karth's herd is still quite large, and while Zan is powerful, she can only be in one place at once.
Zan, can you give us an estimate of how many monsters Karth has under her control? I asked, and the violet-eyed goddess gave it a moment of consideration.
If I had to guess, I would estimate about 20 or so,
she noted.
While I managed to bring a good number of them back from the edge of death, not all survived the battle at Varlay.
Do you think she'll return to the same spot?
Nia addressed Zan, and she tucked a stray lock of silvery hair behind her ear.
It seems unlikely she would strike the same location twice, but then again, that might be her very strategy.
I know after the first battle, Karth mentioned that she wanted nothing more than to see Varlay leveled to dust,
Zan explained.
However, Karth tends to fixate on revenge when she's been wronged, so that could have easily just been talk.
How do we prepare for an attack we don't know where the enemy's going to strike?
Syra sighed.
We'll have to get word to the other enclaves.
Sleet spoke up for the first time in a while.
Mistral's entire military force needs to prepare themselves, regardless of Karth coming to retrieve the book.
She'll likely come to Varlay first, I mentioned. Jace said...
Wait, Jace was there?
Nia asked in a surprised tone. Shit. I'd left Jace out of the initial discussion since I wanted to talk about the Arkin problem first. But I knew I now had to come clean about my supposed aunt.
Yeah,
I nodded. She showed up at the bookstore Sara stashed the book in.
What did she want?
Arwen wondered with a tilt of her head.
She always seems to be stirring something up. So whatever it is, it probably isn't good,
Syra muttered. It's kind of a long story, I sighed, and I nervously rubbed the back of my neck. But she wanted to take the book back to the Shadowscape and hide it away.
Why would she want to do that?
Arwen frowned.
Whose side is this Jace on anyway?
Freya chimed in with narrowed eyes.
She's yet to reveal that,
Ashla replied, and there was a bitter edge to the Ice Mage's voice. Suddenly, Nia's piercing blue eyes fixed on me and sent a chill down my spine.
Griff, what are you not telling us?
I took a long, deep breath. Nia Kinefic could always read me like a book, no matter how hard I tried to remain composed. My wife knew me all too well, and I couldn't keep the secret from them any longer.
Jace isn't actually named Jace, I admitted after I took a long, deep breath. Her name is Kristen Porter.
Kristen Porter?
Arwen repeated with widened eyes.
The Guardian Kristen Porter?
Yes, I nodded. And not only is she a guardian, but she's also
my aunt. The room exploded after that revelation, and soon different phrases traveled past my ears.
Your aunt? How is that even possible?
Wait, if your aunt was a guardian...
I know. I interrupted as I held up my hands, and the room fell silent. It's a lot to really explain, but she told me she's my father's twin sister, and therefore my aunt. But more importantly, she warned me Karth was incredibly angry I stole the book from the Shadowscape, and even more angry that Zan left her alliance. So to answer the question of where Karth would stop first, it would have to be Varlay.
So we must prepare for a strike on the Enclave,
the headmaster determined, and I was grateful for the shift in focus.
Miss Kennefic, I'm going to send word to your father and catch him up on all of this. As Grand Mage, he should be aware of another impending attack.
I agree,
Nia nodded, and I could tell from the look on her face that she was wary. Not that I could blame her. The last fight up against Karth had been particularly gnarly, and it had taken the combined elemental magics of the Kinefics and Headmaster Sleet to keep up with the herd.
And what about Kristen?
Arwen asked me, and the red-headed healer's face was wrought with concern.
Is she someone to worry ourselves with?
I have yet to determine that, I admitted. She claims to be fighting for Mistral, but I don't know if she has our best interests in mind, or if she just wants to take down the Arkans. It's too soon to say.
We shall have a look into the situation, Sleet advised. The lives and affairs of the Guardians fall under the responsibility of the research team. Once this battle has passed, so long as it's as short-term as I hope it will be, we shall return to the subject and try to get more information about Kristen Porter. If she is still alive, there's a chance the other Guardians are as well, and we shall need to figure out how they're still around after all of this time.
Kristen said she was the only remaining Guardian, but I'm not entirely sure how much I believe that, I remarked. She's lied to me before, so I can't speak to her morality.
That's a fair assessment,
the headmaster nodded along. Hopefully the woman can prove herself to be an asset.
We have little to no information about the battle between the Guardians and the Arkans, and it would be wonderful to fill in the blank pages of our history books. But I digress.
We'll start conducting research soon, Arwen agreed. Until then, we need to ready ourselves for Karth's arrival.
I agree with you entirely, Miss Hamna, Sleet said, and then he turned his attention to the rest of the group. I would suggest you all prepare yourselves however you can. We cannot know how or when Karth will strike, but from this moment on, we must assume she could arrive at any second. We must remain high on alert until she does.
Everyone's expressions became utterly serious after the headmaster's remark, and one by one, we all rose from the table.
Mr. Griff, we shall meet again tomorrow, Sleet addressed me. Should the timing be right, hopefully we will be joined by the Grand Mage. We shall need to devise a strategy to keep the Enclaves, specifically Varlay, protected.
Yes, sir, I nodded. The headmaster gave us a quick nod and saw himself out, which left me and my women, and Zan, alone in the room.
So your aunt is a guardian?
Syra brought the subject up again, and the cutty-haired mage's expression was equal parts confused and concerned.
How is that possible, Griff?
Suddenly, I sensed a tingling sensation on my ribcage, and Xanrath dissolved into a stream of azure smoke. As the Arkan's tattoo settled, I felt the goddess return to my mind, but before she tucked herself back inside, she explained the sudden exit.
This seems like a moment you should share with your family,
she soothed, and once her voice faded away, I turned to Syra. Honestly, I'm not sure, I admitted to the dark-skinned summoner. And I could feel the eyes of all of my women upon me as they waited to hear more. And on the subject of honesty, you should all know my parents were guardians as well.
Oh, wow,
Nia breathed as she covered her mouth with a dainty hand.
Griff, that's... I can't even imagine how that feels.
Syra shook her head.
Freya crossed over to my side, and once she reached me, she grabbed onto my hand.
No matter who your parents were, you are still the same man,
the Hawk Princess said softly.
You are still our Griff, and your parentage will not change that fact. You are a powerful mage and a wonderful husband to us. Do not feel you are alone. She's right,
Nia agreed as she stepped over and took my other hand.
We love you, Griff. I could see the pain in your eyes as you told us. I'm sure it wasn't easy to say, but we all love you dearly, no matter where or when you're from.
Thank you, I whispered, and before I could say another word, my women surrounded me and wrapped me in their loving arms. While it was entirely nerve-wracking to finally reveal that information to all of my lovers, it was as if a weight was lifted from my shoulders. I'd held on to those secrets for a while now, and it felt nice to unburden myself. One day I would have to sort through what it meant to be the child of the Guardians, but for now, all I needed was the love and support of my family. The very next day, we all awoke at dawn, and the house was lively with activity. We fed our children as usual and tried to go through their normal morning routines, but as we gave them bottles and rocked them, Milo kept staring at me with a look that seemed too intelligent for a newborn baby. It was almost like my son could sense something was amiss. And he frowned at me every so often as if to say, Dad, is everything okay? Everything's going to be just fine, I assured my son as I kissed his soft curls. I cuddled him close to me and enjoyed the clean smell of his peach-soft skin. Milo wrapped his tiny fist around a lock of my hair, but I ignored the slight pain as he tugged. He let out tiny coos of amusement, and I didn't have the heart to interrupt his fun. Once Milo got bored with me, I enjoyed the individual snuggle sessions with the rest of my children. Lara, in particular, seemed more interested in me than usual, and her usual gold eyes were like pure honey as they glittered in the morning sun. You're such a beautiful little girl, I murmured with pride, and my daughter let out a contented sigh. So strong already. You're going to make your mother and me so proud when you're older. I just know it.
Are you giving her a cheering up?
Freya giggled as she sat beside me, and Lara gave the Hawk Princess a tiny laugh of her own. More like she's giving me a cheering up, I laughed. She's quite motivational.
I was worried about this fight, husband,
Freya admitted to me softly, and the Hawk Princess rested her head against my shoulder.
I know we are all fierce warriors, but Karth is not to be underestimated. Your newest goddess is quite powerful, but I still do not trust her. The Arkans make me feel uneasy.
I know, I replied. I don't blame you at all. Sometimes I'm not sure if I can trust them either. But at the end of the day, they've never betrayed me. And Xanrath is different from the others. She seems to want to help the humans as much as she can.
That is quite kind of her,
Freya remarked. Definitely, I agreed. So don't worry. We have this under control.
I wish I could be there to join you in battle, but I worry for the safety of our daughter,
Freya admitted, and I was surprised to hear a shameful undertone to her voice.
I know she could easily be cared for, but selfishly, I am not quite ready to leave her side.
That isn't selfish at all, I contradicted her. She's our daughter. Of course you feel protective of her. I don't fault you at all for it, Freya. I swear. I'll miss you out on the battlefield, but knowing I get to come home to you once the war is won, that's what's getting me through the day.
I love you, my mate,
Freya whispered as she snuggled up closer to me, and I wrapped my arms around her shoulders. And I love you, I whispered back. We sat like that for a while, until I noticed the sun's position in the sky. I'd decided it would be best for me to fly around the Enclave and the surrounding areas and keep an eye out for Karth and her herd, and I didn't want to lose too much time. So I kissed Freya tenderly, and once my hawk wife and I drew apart, I ran back to my room, gathered up my pouches and bandolier, and then made my way to the front door. My hand was on the doorknob when I heard my name.
Griff?
Nia called out.
Where are you going?
I turned to see my wife and twins behind me. Enea's piercing blue eyes were round with concern. "I'm going to take one of my summons and try to scope out the area," I explained. "I don't know if Karth is going to pull a sneak attack or what, so the sooner I can get out there and be on the watch, the better."
"I don't want you to go alone,"
the ashen-haired elementalist pleaded.
"If Karth ends up being out there, the last thing we need is for her to pull something sneaky while you're on your own."
"I'll have Xanrath and the other Arkans," I insisted.
"Look, I trust Xan more than I did before,"
Nia admitted.
"She seems to have your best interests in mind. However, my heart would rest easier if you had another mage with you. One of us."
"I'll go,"
a voice piped up, and I turned around to see Syra had snuck up behind us. "Syra," I tried, but she cut me off.
"I can go alongside him with Kaelan,"
the other summoner proposed.
"That way, Griff has another person to patrol with him, and if things get tricky, we can kick some ass." "I think that's an excellent idea,"
Nia nodded.
"We'll watch Milo while you're gone. He's pretty easily manageable." "Thank you, Nia,"
Syra smiled.
"I know he'll be in good hands. Hopefully we don't stumble across anything, though. I'd really like today to be as uneventful as possible."
"Me too,"
Nia agreed.
"Please be careful, both of you."
"We will," I swore to my wife. "We'll be back before you know it." Once we said our goodbyes to Nia and the twins, Syra and I stepped out onto the front lawn to retrieve our summons. I reached into my bandolier and summoned my pyreworm, while Syra summoned her familiar, a gray and pink dragon named Kaelan. The creature was normally quite small and rested on the dark-skinned summoner's shoulder, but under Syra's command, the dragon stretched out until it was fully grown and then chirped happily as Syra mounted her.
"Ready for this?"
Syra asked once I was perched atop my pyreworm.
"Definitely,"
I nodded. And after my lover and I exchanged determined smiles, we took off into the clear morning sky.